Father, we just thank you for who you are. God, everything that we're doing today is centered around you and the cross and what you did for us. And Father, as we take communion, let us remember what you did, but let us remember that you're coming again. And God, that the way that we live now, we need to be not only prepared ourselves, but we need to be sharing our faith with others. So Father, as we go into this time of communion, would just you let us reflect on our lives, reflect on what you did. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You guys can be seated this morning as we take communion. We take time this morning to remember the body of Christ that was broken for each and every one of us. He paid the price. He took the scars. He took the wounds. He did it for you and for me. We believe that he is the bread of life, that in him we have life abundantly. We also believe that through Christ that we can find healing in our bodies, in our spirits, in our minds. And so this morning, before we take the bread, I want to take a moment and pray for anybody here today that has something going on in their life physically, maybe emotionally, relationally, that they just need Jesus to touch them. And we, you know, we believe that God heals. We saw it in our mission trip. We're going to testify to it today. And we believe that he heals here in the States, just as well as El Salvador. So this morning, if you're here and you're just saying, Riley, I just need a touch from Jesus. I need him to touch a part of my life. Would you just lift up your hand this morning all across this room? And we're going to pray. And let's believe that Jesus is going to move and touch this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, you see every hand raised. God, you see all the needs, Lord. And we just, Father, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. We adore you, Lord, for what you did for us. God, that the reason that we're here is because you paid the price. You made a way for us to have a relationship with you again. You paid our price, Lord. We also believe, Lord, that you heal and that you touch and that you do miracles. Father, and so in Jesus' name, we just ask that you would touch, God, people in this room this morning, that we would hear testimonies of God, what you've done. That your Holy Spirit would just work and move in each of us. We just thank you, Father, for what you did for us. And we honor you and remember, God, let us never forget what you did, but let us also never forget that you're coming again. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's take the bread together. So thankful for the blood of Jesus. It takes away our sin, takes away our guilt, it takes away our shame. That God took our sin and put it on Jesus so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This morning, I want to pray. And I want us to remember that the work is finished. Don't try to let the enemy drag your chains behind you. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. You're new at creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. So as we pray, let's remember that. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your blood that was shed for us. Jesus, that you took our sins upon you. You took our shame. You took our guilt. You made a covenant with us. And we thank you, Father, for your sacrifice. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for the good news. And God, we thank you that you loved us enough to do this for us. And we remember you today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup together. And Father, this morning, as we go into the rest of this service, we just pray that you would just speak to every heart here. God, that you would have your way. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see you guys. It's good to be back. We've been in El Salvador for 11 days, and it was an amazing experience. This morning, if you're visiting with us, this is not normal service. We normally don't have 10 people wearing the same shirt on a service, unless maybe the Packers won the Super or going to the Super Bowl, then we probably see a bunch of Packers jerseys, but that will never happen. The Vikings are going to the Super Bowl this year. Anyways, we made it back from El Salvador, and God did so many amazing things. And so this morning, our team is going to take some time and share with you guys. You're going to hear some testimonies. Just to kind of give you a little overview of what we did, we got there, and we ministered for 7 days. We had 2 days of travel. 1 day we had of just training, which I think Danae might share a little bit more with you about that. And then 1 day we got a chance to experience the country a little bit. But in those 7 days of ministry, we went to different schools. We went to places on the streets and did programs. We went into people's homes and prayed with them. And I am here to tell you that God moved in mighty ways. We had a chance to minister to over 2,800 people in those 7 days. And we saw 450 people make a decision for Jesus, which is so awesome. And we got to pray for over 800 other, you know, students, teenagers, adults that just had problems in their homes. There's so much brokenness in homes. They're even more so than the States. I remember talking in this little girl's home. It was this little girl, her two little brothers. She was maybe about 8 or 9. And then the grandmother. And this girl's mom, her dad wasn't in the picture, but this girl's mom just couldn't handle it. One day just took off and left. And so this little 8-year-old girl is holding her little 2-year-old brother, just comforting him. And unfortunately, that's a common story there. There's so much brokenness. There's so much gangs and people just leaving their families. And so we had a chance to minister hope to them. And so in our programs, it was so cool because they have San Salvador, the capital, broken up into different zones. And in each zone, this ministry has planted a church, and there's a pastor there, which they go out routinely and minister to these homes. And then we had a chance to go out with the pastor every day in this zone and just reach out, and we saw God move. And so we're going to share with you that this morning. On a side note, though, if you ordered coffee from us, I know many of you guys ordered coffee. We will have that for you guys in the ministry mall after service. You can come pick it up at the youth table. But this morning, like I said, we did programs for these schools, for these kids. And in all these programs, we did different songs. We had 5 different songs we learned. But we did this one song every single service. We're going to share it with you guys this morning. Now, when we shared it with the kids, they were super excited. They were clapping along. Some of them even tried to do the motions with us. So please, like, help us feel, you know, good up here and not like you guys are like, what are they doing? So clap along. Have some fun with us. We're going to share with you guys this first song. It's called My King Jesus.
All right. Next week, we're starting a new class. We're going to teach you the dances, and it's going to be called Cardio for Jesus, okay? All right. So my name's Danae, for anybody who doesn't know me. El Salvador was phenomenal. I'm going to spend most of my time talking about our first full day that was there. Riley kind of touched on a little bit. It was our training day. Training day was tough. Breakfast every day was at 6:30, so we were up by 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning every morning. Go to breakfast, and they tell us we're in training day. We don't really know what to expect. We walk into this big old gym, and we spend 6 hours learning these dances in a very hot gym, and it was exhausting. Y'all, I'm a big girl, and that was hard, okay? It was really, really tough. We had a little bit of free time in the afternoon, but in the evening is where I really want to spend my time. They have a prayer fortress, and their prayer fortress is located at the very top of their property up this giant hill. This prayer fortress is absolutely amazing. They have had 24/7 intercession prayer in that building for the last 20 years. There's never been a moment where someone's not in that building just interceding for the people that work there and for the country of El Salvador. It's a very powerful place. And we got the opportunity to go up there for a bit of time that first evening. To get to the prayer fortress, you had to climb this very tall hill. Let me just remind you, I just did 6 hours of straight cardio, and now they want me to climb this giant hill. I am tired. I am hot. I'm a little crabby. But I was like, you know what? God's got something for me up there. So we climb up there. We get up there, and we meet this beautiful, amazing woman who explains a little bit more about their fortress. She explains to us that the first floor is dormitories. The second floor is intermittent prayer. It's not the 24/7 prayer. And then the very third floor is where that 24/7 intercession goes on. We didn't get to go up to that floor, but you came into this place, and it was powerful. I mean, you could feel the Holy Spirit there, and it was just a really powerful place. So we get up there, and I just start praying. And I'm like, you know what, God? Give me a scripture that I can just run with this week. Something that will always remind me every day of why we're here and what we're doing. And I'm not even kidding you when I read you this scripture. This is what he spoke to me. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend this hill? Who may stand in this holy place? The one who has clean hands, a pure heart, and the one who does not trust in idols. Y'all, do you know what that is? That's Jesus. He was questioning, saying, Danae, are you willing to do this? You came down here, and now you're going to be a little whiny because you have to walk a little bit and you got to work out. Like, it's going to be some good for you, okay? And, you know, it really just resonated deep within me. And that scripture, every day, everywhere we went, it just came back. Who's going to ascend this hill? Who's going to climb to this holy place? El Salvador is a very mountainous country, so we were climbing a lot of hills. Every day, it seemed like the school that we were going to was at the top of a hill. And so every time as I'm climbing up that hill, carrying a box of who knows what to get these programs going, I just kept, who's going to ascend this hill today? And he just kept asking me, he's like, who's going to climb this hill and share my love with these children who otherwise may not know? Riley touched on it a little bit. A lot of these children, it's super common for them to definitely not have both parents, but maybe they're not even lucky enough to have a single parent, and they're living with grandparents, or they're living with friends, or they're living with other extended family members. And so it really rang deep within my soul of who's going to climb that hill, who's going to reach these people. And I want to say it was Pastor Dave, but I could be totally wrong. Don't quote me on this. A couple weeks ago, he gave a sermon about picking up your cross and following Jesus. And what is your cross to bear? What in your life do you have? Everybody's looks a little bit different, but what is it? And so Jesus took that a little bit further for me, and he said, are you willing to pick up your cross, or are you willing to climb that hill for me to share my love? And so I ask you the same thing. What's your cross, and are you willing to pick it up, and are you willing to climb those hills that are in your life to be able to share Jesus to everybody around you? It's really tough. I find it tough to share Jesus with my family sometimes. There can be the hardest people to share Jesus with, especially if they don't know or they're not willing. It was real easy to run up to a little child and give him a big hug and tell him that Jesus loved him. But sometimes it's hard with our own family members here in the States, right? And so that's what my challenge back home is how can I really embrace my family, my extended family, and just really just give them the love of Jesus the way we were able to in El Salvador. So thank you so much, church, for allowing all of us to go on this amazing opportunity. And you're just going to hear story after story of what Jesus did and the love that he equipped us with and how he used us to reach his people. So thank you.
My name is Elizabeth. My dad is over there. My brother is over there. And my family is over there in that big row. In El Salvador, I was really happy to just walk up to a little girl and put her on my lap. I didn't understand what she was saying, but I knew I could pray for her. I also really love to be able to walk up to girls in a circle and lay my hands on them and pray for them. One time, there was about four girls that I felt led to pray for their futures. I know prayer is the most powerful thing you can do, so I did. One day I said a testimony that wasn't really me, which leads to something that I really feel like changed me. Here it goes. I have always held back from giving my life fully to Christ. I guess I never knew what my older sister would think of me if I did, plus my own conscience was telling me not to. I've always compared myself to people, and then I would be angry at those people. I always felt like I needed to be smarter than everyone. While I was in El Salvador, my dad and I were talking one night. During that talk, I told him how I felt, and I rededicated my life to Christ. But it didn't change who I really was at that time. When I returned, I was still the same, until my mom and I went on a drive last Sunday, and I told her I was jealous of something my sister was doing. I told her I don't like feeling like people are smarter than me. She told me again, God has created us wonderfully. We are each created for the specific task he has for us, and only I can do what he made me for, which is different than anyone else. So yet again, I wasn't cherishing who God created me to be. I prayed, and I said I wanted to be who I was meant to be. I now really feel like I know who I truly am. My mom said yesterday morning, "You're different." I understand her. I truly do feel different. I have a different perception about things. I don't need to be the smartest person. I actually feel like I can feel an aroma of air around me, and it is the Spirit of God. I now know I don't need to hold back. I'm officially all in. I also need to be a different person. God created each of us wonderfully different already. I really just need to be me. Those little girls in El Salvador, I pray each of them understands how unique they are and cherish who God made each of us. We don't need to have things hold us back. We need to be all in. Thank you.
Well, buenos dias, Mount Zion. Como se llama Chad? Me llama is Chad, I mean. I'm not even going to try Spanish. I did learn a few phrases, though, like Jesus te llama, Dios te bendiga, God bless you, Jesus loves you. I mean, these are some of the most important things to say to people, and I'm a little nervous, so I'm a little fast. I'll try and slow it down a little bit, breathe. That might be a good thing. You see, when God sends you out someplace, sometimes you get nervous, you get excited, you don't know really what to expect. That's kind of what it was like down there. When I was heading out, I've always had a heart for missions. I've always loved Latin America, and I was really excited when I got the opportunity to go on this trip. And God just spoke volumes to me down there in many, many, many ways. We got to see so many different things. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. Danae had already mentioned the prayer fortress. The prayer fortress was awesome. It was like an encouragement. God showed me at the prayer fortress exactly how he had breakthrough for King's Castle Ministries. In Spanish, it's called Castle del Rey. And that just means, castle of the king, because, God gives us the ability to bring whatever, Ephesians talks about it. Paul says, what you loose in heaven is loosed on earth, and what's loosed and what you bind in heaven is bound on earth. Jesus said, in the prayer, that he taught his disciples, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And when we take hold of that authority that he's given us, we can really see breakthrough here on earth. Paul said that, in every municipality, he said that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers, principalities, and rulers of darkness. And what you can do is we can take up the armor that God has given us, and we can break down those strongholds. What King's Castle Ministries has been doing over the last 20 years, they'll be celebrating it this September, is they've been praying 24/7, every single day. But it's not just one person, though. One person can't do it. It's not one person that has not been living up in the third story of their castle every single day for the last 20 years. It's been people, person after person. They probably take shifts, I'm sure. It's like one person will do it for a few hours, and somebody else will come in, do it for another few hours. Somebody else will come in, and somebody else will come in. It takes a team. And I've been in the business world, I've been in sales, I've been in construction right now, and what we learned out in the business world in America is team. What's the acronym for team? T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. And they teach that all across our country. What we need to do as the body of Christ is realize that our body is a team, and we are united with Jesus. And if we unite ourselves with Christ, we can break through any stronghold. What King's Castle did down there, by praying every single year, they've been able to break into these schools that were totally closed off to the ministry, people that had never heard Christ before. And you got to understand, the country, a lot of them are communistic. They don't like prayer, they don't like Jesus, they don't like what the King's Castle is doing, but over the years, they've been able to break down those strongholds by showing Jesus' love every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year. And by what they do, they have medical missions, they have construction missions, they have youth missions. We were part of a youth mission when we were down there, because I'm the only one that was a carpenter, and you know, we only had a couple other nurses, so we were, you know, ours was youth focused. So we got to go into the schools, we got to minister to all the children, and what they're trying to do with the youth mission is break the hearts of the kids before they get into the gangs. There's lots and lots of gangs down there, lots of them, and there's the drug cartels coming in. They're trying to take over. There's sex slave trades all over the place. We drove through places that were considered the red light district, where there's harlots and whores and stuff like that. People who are in sin. We didn't minister in that area, but we drove through those areas to get to the schools, which are buried in those areas. There's, you know, the sin is rampant. The depression is rampant. The heartache, hard hearts. One of the schools we ministered to. I mean, I could go on for probably an hour to probably 2 hours talking to you about the details of the, but I unfortunately don't have anywhere near that time. It's supposed to be done probably in a minute and a half. So trying to gives you as big a picture as possible. One of the schools was so infested with gangs that they actually had about six, 8 months ago, at the beginning of the year, a gangster that shot one of their alumni right outside the door of the school. And everybody was scared to death. They didn't even want to hear what we had to say. They were like, you guys, you Americans, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what it's like down here. And what we were able to do, you know, most of us don't speak any Spanish, or very little. Some of us do, but we were able to tell our testimony, and we had an interpreter. So we would speak whatever God put on our hearts, the testimony he's given us. And Jesus says it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that people are saved. So he can break through the hearts, and he can show them that, you know, whether we're American or not, it doesn't matter. We know where you are, because, you know, people's hearts, our feelings, our hopes, they're the same in that regard. People are people, regardless of what country you're from. And so through our interpreter, we were able to give the different testimonies that each of us have. I told a testimony of how when I was a child, when I was their age, my sister had actually gotten into an accident and broke her neck, basically, and was paralyzed. And in 2 days, God healed her, and she was walking again. I mean, it was awesome. It sowed a seed. Sometimes what we can do is we can sow seeds into the hearts. Some of those children, they had heard some of these messages before, so we've been able to see the results of some other people who have sowed seeds. We were able to water them, and in some cases, we were able to reap a harvest. On that particular day, the very first day, we went to a school that, until that time, over the last 20 years, had been closed off to this ministry. They'd never opened their doors to hear Castle Ministry. And we were able to come in for the very first time and speak to these children. When we first got there, the first 20 minutes or so was kind of a jumble. They weren't sure what they were going to allow us to do. Should we let them talk to this one class or a couple of classes, or should we let them do their whole program? Well, a lot of us just, you know, got together and we just prayed and prayed until they had a resolved answer, and they allowed us to do the entire program. By the afternoon is when, I don't want to steal anybody else's testimony, but one of our people was able to pray for this little girl who came there, and she had this walker, and she had been paralyzed from basically the waist down, so she had these metal brackets on her legs and probably just dragged herself. I didn't get to see her until after the miracle happened. When once one of our people started praying for her, she started to walk and stuff. She started to, you know, do things that she'd never done before. Her mom was there, and the pastor, Alfonso, or whatever his name is, Pastor Alfonso or something like that, the pastor that was with us, he has a great healing ministry. I have a hard time with their names because I can't really pronounce it very good. But whoever it was, he came over and he started praying over. I came over when I saw him take the walker and start dragging it away, and she's like walking after it. And I'm like, what's going on? God's healing power just started crashing down, and the mother just started bawling and weeping. It was amazing, and it affected our whole group. And the pastor even thanked us for it. He said, "You guys obviously came down here with intent." And the only thing I can think is that I got to thank all of you guys, because it's through your prayers and their prayers that we were able to break through and see miracles happen. Your prayers count. Whether you're here and praying for people in other countries, you are going to see miracles happen, because it's the power of God that just transforms lives everywhere. And I want to encourage you, don't ever give up. You know, we all are in a mission field. We are all on a mission field. And it doesn't matter if you're here or there. God put it in my heart that I wanted to go into mission so bad when I was younger, but I wanted to be a bush pilot missionary. One of the ones I heard about, read about, was John Elliott and his group. And I wanted to be a bush pilot, but God gave me a heart murmur, which made me unable to be a pilot ever. So when that dream crashed, instead of doing the right thing, saying, okay, God, what else do you want me to do then? And I just got a little hard heart for a few years and didn't want to do anything. Well, God showed me, look, I have a mission for you, and this is where it is, right here, right now. I'm stationed in Mount Zion in Wisconsin, where I can take the heart that God's given me, teach my children, who are the arrows that God's given me, and shoot them out into the world and let them save thousands of lives. And every one of you guys have the same mission, whether it's at your work, whether it's at your job place, whether it's right here, whether it's downtown Mount Zion. We have schools in America that are closed off. You want to try and go and preach Jesus to them? Try it. See what happens. You're going to have to pray really hard to break through, but we can do it. It is possible. And I want to encourage every one of you to do that. Thank you. Oh, one other thing. While I was down there, my wife and I got one call about a new baby that we're giving. God's giving us another arrow to shoot into the fray, too, which is awesome. And I want to thank you all for that, too. Yeah, God bless you. Oh, I forgot. We have a video. So you don't have to just try and picture what we're doing. We're going to show you a short video right now about just see the faces of the children that we got to touch. See all the different, just what God did. So thank you very much. Let's see that video.
It was a little overwhelming too, just trying to learn all the little dances each song, but it was a lot of fun. And, we knew that it was for a purpose of reaching kids, and so we had a really awesome time with it. And the people did a great job making it fun, and it was good. It's been an awesome experience, just seeing their passion to reach their communities, to reach their nation, and to partner with them to reach El Salvador. It's been a really cool experience. And honestly, it just my prayer is that in America, when we come back, that same passion to reach the people in the States would be the same way that as the nationals are trying to reach their country here. We've been in a lot of schools this week. We've been doing a lot of ministry on the streets, and it's been such an awesome experience to be able to just love on these kids and to share Christ's love with them. It's been really cool for me to, as a youth pastor, to see my students coming out of their shells and going and praying for kids and seeing God do miracles, seeing God bring salvation, and then they're being a part of it. It's not them watching someone else doing it, it's God's using them. And that's, for me, has been a really awesome thing, because I think that when God can use you to do the miracles and to bring salvation, when he works through you, that it just becomes like a pillar in your life of your faith that you can look back on and say, look, God used me, and you can use me again. My challenge to my team is going to be the same passion that we've had to reach the lost in El Salvador needs to be the same passion we have when we go home. You know, whether it's people at our school or people we work with, family members, people we see at the grocery store, we need to reach them for Christ. And that's going to be my challenge, is let's not lose that passion to see people come to know Jesus.
Buenos días, Monte de Sion. Me llamo Hannah. I'm kidding. Hi, my name is Hannah Sandberg. My father is the Latino pastor here at Mount Zion Christian Church, and I learned a lot in El Salvador. I had a lot of amazing moments that I will always remember. I've seen people healed, but I have seen people go farther away from Christ as well. I'm going to share with you about a little boy. His name is Alejandro.
Okay, I'm already crying. Okay.
I was at a school one day, and I was just standing, and we had finished our program. And this little boy ran up to me, and he was hugging me so tight. And I realized that his hug wasn't a hug for love. It was a desperate grasping. He was holding onto my arms. I looked down, and he starts rambling on in Spanish, going on and on. He's sobbing and squeezing onto me tight, and he doesn't want to let go. I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but the only words that I caught were, ayúdanme, help me. I'm about to bend down to ask him what's wrong when this man comes through the door and screams his voice and tears this little boy out of my arms. I had to stand there and let him get torn away. He's now screaming in English, no take, don't let them take me, don't let them take me. And I had to stand there and endure this. After that, I sat on our bus and I just wept. I felt the despair just rise up in my chest. I felt, what could I have done to reach this little boy? What could I have done? But I couldn't physically do anything. But it wasn't until that moment that I realized the power of prayer. Prayer has always been in my life. My mom is a prayer warrior. But I've never experienced that for myself. I immediately sat down and I started praying. I started praying in the tongues. And what I realized later was one of the nationals that speak Spanish told me that I was praying in Spanish without realizing what I was doing. I didn't know what I was saying. To this day, I still don't know what I said. But I know that I was praying for him. And I was praying for all those kids who have a story very similar to mine. And I pray that you realize that prayer is so powerful. It is more powerful than doing something in the physical life. Prayer is more powerful than touch, than sight, than hearing. It is so powerful, and I hope that you don't push it aside. Reading your Bible is just as important. I have a Psalms that I pray over every single one of the nationals and every single one of my team. I still pray nightly for them. I set a time away so I can just pray for the people, that I can pray for El Salvador. Coming back, our mission isn't over. We can still do things in America. We can still do things in El Salvador. We don't always have to stay here. We can go out, but don't forget that you don't have to go out to be on a missions field. There are people broken right here in this town, and you're just not looking around to see it. You need to open your eyes and to see the pain that's already in our lives. I was at Walmart the other day, and this family was going out the door, and this father yelled at this little boy, and that little boy's eyes flashed just as Alejandro's did. Americans learned how to build up that wall to not let anybody in. We have to break that wall down. We have to get to those kids, get to those people. Our missions field isn't out there. It's right here. So please, join me in the fight. Lake Geneva isn't saved. Walworth County isn't saved. America isn't saved completely yet. We need to bring God back into our schools, back into our lives. So please, help me fight for America and for the world. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeremiah, and I am really nervous right now. I'm kind of shaking. And yes, and this is my testimony of how God changed how I pray and how he used me on this trip. And the programs are tiring, but really fun. And the first day we were there, after our, I think, like, second program, I said to an intern who, yeah, and she and I had the Holy Spirit built up in me so much that I just couldn't take it. So I said to the intern, I am so pumped with the Holy Spirit that I could have done like three or more programs. And I felt just God's Spirit around me. So, and on the second program, and God took me out of my comfort zone a little more. And on the second program, and I never laid hands on anybody when they needed prayer, or when Pastor Dave said we should go into groups and pray for them. I just sat in my row with my family, except my brothers and sisters. And finally, on the second program, when we were praying for them on the trip, God changed that in me, and now I lay hands on people who are sick because God just put that in my heart now. And I'm going to share a little of my life before I was adopted, because this is a testimony I shared when I was in El Salvador, and it changed a gang member's heart and he accepted Christ. And my life and my siblings' life should not have been like this before we were adopted. My life when I was little was rough, hard, and scary. And I had no hope that I was going to get a better life. The life I had when I was little was scary because we slept in cars, on the streets, and sometimes in hotels. But every hotel we were in, we were kicked out. And I went back and forth with my grandparents, and I hated going back with them. And I was scared to ride in cars because when my mom, birth mom, drove, she was drunk or she was sleeping, and she got in so many car crashes that I almost died in a couple of them. And God protected me from that because he has great plans for me and for all of you on this earth. And when I accepted Jesus in my heart and when I was adopted, Jesus took away my fear, and now I'm not afraid to ride in cars I'm not afraid, except I'm afraid of bees, but. I am going to be going back to El Salvador again soon as a warrior. A warrior is where they go, where they leave for several months, and they go to different countries like Nicaragua, I think Honduras, and some other countries in Central America. We have to be at least 16 there. And I just wanted to, I want to do that because on the second day when we got back from El Salvador, I just cried because my heart was still in El Salvador and I didn't want to leave there. And I just didn't like the States for right now. My heart's still going for El Salvador and hopefully I'll be there soon. Thank you.
I'm going to share for a couple more minutes, and then we're going to close this morning. God did so many amazing things. You heard just the drop in the bucket of all the things that God did. And it's so easy to say, well, that's El Salvador. That's over there. You know, you guys were there for 11 days just focused on ministry. What I want to tell you today is that the same God that's in El Salvador is the same God that's here. And there's people just as broken, just as hurting, sitting next to you in your office or in the grocery store, and God has called us not just to gather here as our vision is and to grow, but he's called us to go. He called us to go. He's called us to serve here in the church. He's called us to evangelism in our community, and he's called us to missions. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says that God has prepared good works for each of us. That God, each one of you guys, that before you were even born, God has prepared things for you to do. And it was obvious that these team members, that God had something specific for them in El Salvador, that God prepared it for them, and they just had to go and be obedient. But God has something specific for each of you, that he's preparing for you. He's making a way. Just as you walk into a prepared meal and you sit down and eat, God has prepared works and things he wants you to do that you just have to go and show up and let God work. And so my challenge for you guys this morning is, what is your goal? What is your cross to bear? What is your hill to climb? What is God calling you to do? Because he hasn't called us to sit on the sidelines or just to show up to church once a week and then that's it. He's called us to go. He's called us to reach people. And so this morning after the service, we have a ministry fair down there. There's coffee and snacks down there. And so many ministries in our church are down there. And my prayer for you guys is this, is that you would say these three words to God. God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whenever you want me to do it, I'm following you. And then as you walk down there, and God would speak to your hearts if you're not plugged in somewhere to serve, and you serve somewhere, but that you would also, everywhere you go, that you would share your faith, you'd evangelize with people, and that you would support missions. Thank you guys so much. I want to pray for you guys, and then you are dismissed to head down to the gym, or if you need to go, that's okay too. We will have some of us stay, some of the pastors, if you guys need prayer after service. Father, I thank you so much for all that you did in El Salvador, all that you do here in Lake Geneva, and God, you get the glory for it all. And we just pray, Father, that as a church, that we wouldn't just gather, we wouldn't just come to a service, but that we would, everywhere we go, that we would be on mission, that we would see our area as a mission field, and that we would reach the lost, that we would share the hope that we have in you, Jesus. We just thank you for all that you did, and we ask that you would just continue to water and grow those seeds that were planted in El Salvador. Bless this church and help us to reach our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for your prayers, for your support. If you need prayer, we'll be here to pray. Otherwise, you guys can head down to the ministry fair if you will. Also, if you ordered coffee, I want to remind you that the coffee will be down there by the youth table. Thanks, you guys.